Well, as we progressed our way through the Gospel of Luke, we come to this passage of Scripture. We saw the last time we were together that Judas Iscariot had come to betray him. We saw how God was in charge of he's even bigger than the devil. And he's also bigger. He's also Lord over the small things. That the Lord is in the details of life. And now when we come to this passage, we have Luke 22:14, and the time had come to celebrate the Passover. And I'm going to give a little bit of an explanation of the Passover, what it meant, and how it ties in with communion. Because the people's idea of communion is all over the map in our world today. What does it mean, this taking bread and a cup and eating this? Well, what does this mean? And there's a lot of confusion about it. And hopefully we can kind of straighten it out from what the Word of God shows as to what this purpose is. Because some people think, well, that this bread and wine turn into Jesus, and that you eat Jesus this way, and this is the way you get life and strength. Other people say, no, it's just a symbol, and others say, no, his real presence is there. And so there's a lot of confusion around it. So hopefully this morning we can kind of take a biblical viewpoint of it and see what it has to say. So it starts in Luke 22:14. It says, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So this is the statements that he made, and they sound a little bit startling. The Passover was a meal that was celebrated by the Jews. And it was celebrated because of something that happened long ago. Way back, if you know the story of Moses and how he led the children of Israel, the Jewish people, out of Egypt. They had been slaves there. They had been bondage there. They had lived in Egypt for over 400 years. And finally, the time came when Moses had fled Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian. He was living as a shepherd among the Midianites. And one day he sees a burning bush on the mountain, and he goes up to investigate, and the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to go, and I want you to rescue the children of Israel. I want you to rescue this whole nation and take them out of Egypt. And Moses says, no way, man. Who am I? But the Lord made it clear and plain to Moses, so finally he does go, and he says to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go. And finally, one plague after another happened. Some of you know the story, right? One plague after another happened, and Pharaoh would say, okay, I'll let them go. And then as soon as the plague would stop, I won't let them go. And finally, Moses warned him. He kept warning him, it's going to get worse. If you don't do this, it's going to get worse. And so finally, a final plague was to fall on Egypt. And this plague was a devastating one. And in that light, I'm going to go ahead to that right now. And we'll look here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. We're back in the Old Testament. The Old and the New Testament all have a purpose. And so here's what happened. Here's what the Israelites were told to do for this particular night that was coming, because a terrible plague was going to come over all the land of Egypt. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you will make your count for the lamb. So a lamb for a household. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So you're supposed to, he says, okay, this is what you have to do. This is important. Like, okay, I want everybody to understand that you have to find a lamb. And if you can't afford a lamb by your one family, then get two families together and make sure that this lamb has no blemishes on it. Make sure it's a perfect lamb, that there's nothing wrong with the lamb. And he says, you'll keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So then the lamb was killed at just at dark. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. So they were told to kill the lamb, take the blood, put it on this doorpost, and across the lintel, across the top. And so these were the instructions that were given. So they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with legs and entrails. You let none of it remain until the morning. What remains of it in the morning you shall burn with fire. So the lamb was to be consumed, right? The whole lamb, the blood was on the doorpost, and the lamb was consumed. You got the picture so far? Okay. Now, and those you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You will eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Because a few things were going to happen that night. That night, a death angel was going to pass over the whole land of Egypt. And when that happened, the firstborn of every household would die. It was a terrible judgment. And yet, they had plenty of opportunity to repent and did not. And that was what happened. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now, here's what happens. So, now the blood shall be a sign for you in the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this will be, they will be for you a memorial. You will keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You will keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So here the Israelites, a million strong by this point, friends, a million of them, were living in Egypt. They were in slavery and in bondage. And what was it that the Pharaoh of Egypt had decreed would happen to all the male children not that long ago when Moses was a child? Does anybody know? He killed them all. The Pharaoh of Egypt was killing every son that was born because they said the Israelites are multiplying too fast. We don't want so many of them, but we want to keep them as our slaves. So if we kill the males, then we'll keep them from being stronger. We'll keep them from rising up and rebelling against us. So they were killing all the babies. Remember how Moses escaped? That's right. Miriam, his sister, put him in a basket and floated down, and it ended up that he was picked up by a princess in Egypt. And so we can see that a judgment was coming back against Egypt because of their the way that they had behaved. That they were worshippers of false gods and they were doing horrible and terrible things. And the people, of course, were beaten and under oppression. And Pharaoh refused over and over and over again. And every plague was worse than the last one, worse than the last one. Finally, he says, okay, Pharaoh, this is it. This is it. It's going to happen. But how could all the people, the death angel would pass over all of Egypt and every household was going to be affected. Except God said there's one way that there's provision. And the only way there's provision is if a lamb, a perfect lamb, was slain and the blood applied to the doorposts of the house. When that happens, judgment passes over that household. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there and I heard that this is what needed to be done, whether I was Egyptian or whether I was Israel, I think after seeing all the other plagues, I would go find a lamb. I'm pretty sure I would haste to find a lamb, to get that lamb, and to do whatever needed to be done, just in case. Right? Cover your bases, right? When you're looking at this kind of judgment, especially with all the judgments that had come before. And so this is what they were told to do. And I'm not going to go through the whole story today because I want to move on to the New Testament. But what happened was exactly what they said would happen. The death angel came that night, but the Israelites who had taken a lamb, sacrificed it, put the blood on the doorpost, and consumed the lamb were okay. That night, there was deliverance. The next day, the children of Israel were on their way out of Egypt. They were delivered. They not only did the death angel pass over them, but they passed over out of Egypt and towards the promised land. God was faithful in everything that he said that he would do. Now, of course, we know that Pharaoh was that wicked that when they got to the Red Sea, guess who was coming behind him? Pharaoh with all of his armies, thinking that they were going to wipe them out again. But that's not what happened. And you're starting to sing that song, "Oh, Pharaoh, Pharaoh." It's a song that we sing in youth group. It's a song we sing in youth group. Or, yeah, maybe we'll sing it for you someday. "Ooh, baby, let my people go." Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So this is what happened. They still persisted to follow. To Pharaoh did not give up until he perished along with his armies. So we find that this is the story of the Old Testament. Now, all of a sudden, we come to the New Testament, and this is hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, and here we have the Passover was still being celebrated by the Jews. But when they celebrated the Passover, were they in Egypt? Was there a death angel hanging over them? No. Were they, when they killed the lamb and they ate the lamb, was there blood need to be applied on the doorpost because the death angel was going to pass over? Did that happen every year? They were supposed to celebrate the Passover every year, but there was no deliverance every year. The deliverance already happened, right? And they were the product of that deliverance, even though they weren't there when it happened. They still were the result of that deliverance because the Israelites were no longer in slaves in Egypt, right? And so God had told them, "I want you to celebrate this every year." But the real deliverance only happened once. You got that picture? The celebration went on to remind us of the deliverance that happened once. Okay? Does that make sense so far? So when we come to the New Testament and Jesus says, I've desired to celebrate this Passover with you. You see what he says here. I'll go back to the beginning here for a second. He says, he said, "With the fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Here's the thing. God made sure that the time when Jesus would be crucified would be at the time of the Passover celebration. Now, why do you think that's the case? Any ideas? Because Jesus was the sacrifice. Remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus? And I'm dancing through some of these slides here. He said this. There it is. "The next day, John," this is John the Baptist, "saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, what was sacrificed at the Passover way back when? It was a lamb. What were the conditions about that lamb? It had to be perfect. Who is the perfect one? Jesus. So he is the Lamb of God. This was at the very beginning of his ministry. It was announced, he's the Lamb. This is the Lamb that was prepared. In the Old Testament, they had to have a Lamb prepared, a Lamb ready. In the New Testament, we have a Lamb that's been prepared and a Lamb that was made ready. But the Lamb that was made ready is Jesus Christ himself. He is the Lamb of God. And he came to take away the sin of the world. He came to take away the judgment because sin brings judgment. He came to deliver us from the judgment. Do you remember how in the Old Testament a judgment was coming? It was imminent. It was going to pass over the land. But everyone who came under the blood of the Lamb in the Old Testament, the blood on their doorpost, was spared. That household was spared from judgment because of the blood that was there. Because he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. You will not experience that judgment." So now, God makes sure that when Jesus is about to be sacrificed on the cross, that it was going to happen at the same time as the Passover. Because he is the Passover lamb. Listen, here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Speaking about sin, it says, "Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you're truly unleavened." I'm not going to go into that right now because I don't have time. "For indeed, Christ our," what? "Passover was sacrificed for us." So the whole picture in the Old Testament, the whole story in the Old Testament points to Jesus being the Passover lamb. in the Old Testament, and the Jews still do celebrate Passover, and they have Passover lambs. But now we understand that the real Passover lamb to bring us from judgment, because all of us have become slaves to sin, all of us have found ourselves under its bondage. I don't think anybody can say they're free from that. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to deliver us. Just as the Israelites were delivered out of the cruel tyranny of Pharaoh and delivered to the promised land, so we, through Jesus Christ, our Passover lamb, are delivered from the cruel tyranny of the devil and sin and all of its consequences, and being delivered into the family of God and into heaven itself. He's the Passover lamb. And I praise God for that, because what a wonderful thing God has done. What a picture it is. So when we think about this communion, this time when we take the bread and the cup, we need to understand that just as it was in the Old Testament when the Passover lamb was killed, so it was the Passover lamb that delivered them was the one that was back there. Every time they celebrate the Passover after that, there was no deliverance in that. It was a reminder of the deliverance that they had experienced. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So now, when it comes to communion, Jesus, at the Passover, instituted a communion feast. And we call it communion, but it was simply is a time when he said to them, he took the bread and he took the cup, and he had already said that he was the bread of life. He already said that he was that his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sins, right? And so he takes the bread and the cup as a picture of himself. And he says that this is my body, which is broken for you. Now, he hadn't gone to the cross yet, had he? And this is my blood, which is shed for you. No, he hadn't shed his blood yet, had he? So what was it still? It was bread and it was wine. And this is why we find this in the Gospel of Matthew. It says this. He took the cup, gave thanks, and said to them, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of what? This fruit of the vine from now on. You see, he said, this is my blood. But then he turns around and said, no, this is the fruit of the vine, which is what? It was wine. So he didn't turn it into himself. Jesus didn't turn bread and wine into his body. What he is saying to them, this represents my body. This is my blood. But it's not literally his blood or his body, because he was still standing there among them. Later on, he tells them, look, you're thinking in physical terms. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's a spiritual truth that he wants to get across. So when he goes to the cross and when he dies for our sins, he pours out his blood. His body is broken for us, and then we become partakers of it. But how do we become partakers of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Well, some would say, well, if I just eat communion enough, that's how I'll get him. I'll get Jesus this way. But the Bible tells us that the real deliverance happened at the cross. There is no deliverance now in that respect. It has to have happened at the cross. It had to be done by Jesus. When you look in the New Testament, you see some interesting words about Jesus. By the will, we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. Get that? So the offering of the body of Jesus Christ was done once for all. So there is no more sacrifice for sins afterwards. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The Old Testament sacrifices couldn't take away sins. But look what it says, Hebrews 10:12. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice for sins forever. So at the cross, one sacrifice was made for sins forever. No more sacrifice for sins. The communion feast is not a sacrifice for sins. It is a remembrance of the sacrifice for sins, but it isn't a sacrifice. Because how many sacrifices does it say?
One.
There's only one. It's done already. Doesn't have to be done again and again and again and again and again. Thank God for that. Because if one sacrifice for sins is not enough, how many does it take to have your sins taken care of? It's one forever. And so when by faith we accept that, Here it is again, Hebrews 10, 13, and 14. From that time, he's waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has done what? Perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It's his work. What he did at the cross is enough to perfect you forever. Isn't that amazing? It's not what you do, it's what he's done. All my hope of heaven doesn't hang upon what I do. It hangs upon what Christ has done at the cross. One sacrifice for sins forever. How wonderful that is. Praise God. Thank you so much, Heather. So, when we consider this, and we look at the communion, and when we take the bread and we take the cup, I want you to know you're not eating and drinking Jesus that way. Here's how you eat and drink Jesus. The way that you eat and drink Jesus is by faith. It's by, in your heart, coming to the point in your life where you know that you're lost, where you know that you're a sinner who needs to be saved, where you're like the Israelite who's facing the judgment of God because death's coming for all of us, isn't it? And after death, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 9 says, after death comes the judgment. So what does God do? God sends his son, Jesus Christ, the Passover lamb. And the perfect lamb of God was sacrificed on the cross. But what needs to happen? I need to have the blood of the lamb applied to my heart. I got to get the blood on the doorposts of my heart. I have to have, by faith, I receive Christ. And when I receive Christ by faith, I receive that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for my sins. And now the blood of Jesus is over me. So that when the death angel comes, so that when we are faced with the judgment of Almighty God, when God sees the blood, he passes over me. Not only that, it also says in the Passover time, they ate the lamb. Well, how do I eat Jesus? By faith. It's by faith that I received that he died for my sins, that the blood is applied to my soul. And it's by faith that I take Jesus in and I say, Lord, you are my sustenance. You are my life. It is by faith that I lean on Jesus. As I depend on him, then my soul is fed with the person of Jesus Christ, and he lives in me and I live with him. So I don't get spiritual sustenance to make it through the day by eating communion, bread and wine. I take these to do as it says in the Bible. It was done for a purpose, and I'll just find it here. Okay. If I had the passage here. The Apostle Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Yeah, in the same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's a remembrance feast. For as often as you eat this, what is it?
Bread.
It's still bread. It's not, didn't turn into Jesus. Eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, until he returns. And so the communion is a proclamation of the fact that Jesus Christ has died for my sins. I'm covered, I'm protected by his blood. It's a fact that I have taken Jesus Christ into my soul and that he is my Lord and my Savior. So I take the bread and I take the cup that reminds me that my Savior is Jesus Christ, that proclaims to the world, I belong to Jesus. The blood has been applied to my soul. He's mine and I'm his. So here's the thing. If I have by faith accepted Christ as my Savior, then I take the bread and the cup with joy in remembrance of what he has done for me at the cross. If I haven't accepted him as my Savior, there isn't any purpose to it. You could eat that bread all day long. You could get a bucket load of it. You could drink that wine. We don't use alcoholic wine here, by the way, because we don't want anybody to be stumbling, right? But you could drink that all day long, and it's not going to make you holy. It's not going to take your sins away. This communion feast does not take away your sins. Rather, what it does is it's a celebratory feast for those who have been saved. If you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, there isn't any point in taking it. It's not going to do you any good. But if you have accepted him as your Savior, then gladly take it. And if you haven't, then right now you can say, Lord Jesus, I see that I need the Passover lamb. the real Passover, you. I see that you died on the cross for my sins, and I'm accepting you as my Savior. Immediately, you're saved. Immediately, your sins are forgiven. Immediately, you have a home in heaven, because one sacrifice for sins has been made forever. And we accept by faith that he's the one that's going to perfect me. I'm not perfecting myself. The Bible says he's going to take you and present you faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. He's going to get you there. I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm not earning my way to heaven. Heaven has been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, and he paid the ultimate price at the cross. So I accept it as a gift. It's a gift. That's what it is, friends. And when you accept this gift, you have eternal life. If you don't, you won't. That's not complicated. But remember how tragic it was for those who had all the opportunity in the Old Testament. All they needed to do was kill a lamb and do what they were told. Now, what would have happened? That night, a terrible, terrible judgment would have passed on, hit that household. And so it will be for those who do not come under the blood of the lamb, for those who do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith, they will not be saved. It's not about religion, friends. It's not about religion. It's about a Savior who did come and who did die for the sins of the world. Anyone can come. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. It doesn't matter what religious background you have. You can come to Jesus. You can say, Lord, I am the sinner. I need the covering of your blood. And I need the fullness of Jesus in my soul. And he'll be yours. As I said, you can eat the bread and cup all day long. It's not going to do you any good at all. Matter of fact, if you're a Christian and you're not living right for God, then you shouldn't take the bread and cup until you get things right, because you're making a mockery of what he did at the cross. And sometimes we do that. And God says he'll judge us for that. As a Christian, we'll receive it'll cause us grief in our lives. So my encouragement to you today is to take a long look at the Lamb of God. And take a look at what he did at the cross. And realize that when he was instituting this time, when he sat down with them and he told them to take it and eat the bread and take the cup, he was not telling them, this is the way to find eternal life by eating and drinking this. He was pointing to himself. He says, I'm the one. And afterwards, we celebrate. And we have continued to celebrate. And the church has continued to celebrate what Jesus Christ did on the cross, all right up to this day. Just as the Jews continued to celebrate the Passover meal afterwards, but the real deliverance happened back there. So we continue to celebrate and remember that Jesus was our Passover, who delivered us from hell and who saved us from our sins and who gave us himself so that we could be within us and for us. We celebrate that by taking the communion. But there's no deliverance in the communion. Remember, the deliverance is by faith in Jesus Christ.